Welcome to Exploring Bible Prophecy with our teacher, Steve Butler. As we continue through our series today on why we should explore Bible prophecy, we encourage you to download your free study guide by visiting whcbradio.org. There, click on Exploring Bible Prophecy, download the study guide, and follow along with us. Now, open your Bibles as we explore Bible prophecy.
In today's program, we are going to move on to point number seven in our worksheet. And that worksheet is entitled, Why Explore Bible Prophecy? This is our inaugural series of teachings in a teaching ministry that focuses on Bible prophecy and the importance of understanding Bible prophecy. Because if you can understand God's prophecies, then you understand the amazing enormity of God's omniscience, that he is telling us the end of all things. And if you want to think of it in terms of the end of the book of the Bible, the end of Revelation chapter 22, he says, I tell you the end of that all the way from the beginning, from Genesis chapter 1. God wants us to know everything about him and everything that he wants to do for those who call him Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us such a great plan that he says, I will fulfill my plan to the detail. And we have been going through the first 6 points in our worksheet about those details, and particularly point number 6 that had to do with prophecy. And the title says, prophecy, especially already fulfilled prophecy, confirms the accuracy and therefore the authority of God's word. And if you've been with us for any amount of time, you know that we've gone through a number of those Old Testament passages to show you the Old Testament prophecies of hundreds and thousands of years ago that have been fulfilled through the first coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, either his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. One of those points, these were all prophesied in exquisite detail in the Old Testament, to make the point that we know that those prophecies, that part of the third of the Bible that's about prophecy, we know that those prophecies have come to pass exactly as prophesied. So therefore, to my mind, to my way of thinking, and hopefully yours, that confirms beyond a shadow of a doubt the accuracy and therefore the authority of God's word, as we see there in point number 6. So if we've seen the already fulfilled prophecies confirm the accuracy and the authority of the word, then we want to look at point 7. So before we get into point 7, I want to welcome you if you are listening in for the first time or perhaps fairly new to the program and you have not had the opportunity to go to this radio station's website. That's whcbradio.org. whcbradio.org, and when you get to the website, look for Exploring Bible Prophecy, and you will find the current worksheet that we are teaching from, and it lists our points. In this case, we're looking at 13 points about why explore Bible prophecy, and then you will see a rather well-filled-out list of scriptures that we're using from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you need to have both of them. To prove the point that God's word goes from Genesis to Revelation. It does not go just from Matthew to Revelation. You've got to have the Old Testament, and you've got to have a good grasp of the Old Testament in order to fully and properly understand the New Testament. And I know that there are people out there today that are fairly big names that are telling us we don't need the Old Testament. Well, I think there is a nefarious reason why they're doing that. I don't want to get into that. I don't think it's necessary. I just fully believe that we need to have God's completed word. That's why he gave it to us. You'll recall we've said on a number of occasions that if God just wanted to know the simplistic gospel message, we would have something about the size of a business card. That's all we would need. But no, he gave us 66 books of the Bible, and he wants us to understand them in their entirety, because as you understand them, you understand God, you understand his nature, you understand his character. And I fully believe that if you will do that and you have a grasp of God's character, you will therefore have what the Bible calls discernment when you hear false teaching, because you will immediately instinctively know, wait a minute, from my study of God's word, that is not God's character. He would not do that. And I believe that's the checks that the Holy Spirit gives us to evaluate when we hear messages, because unfortunately there are more and more false messengers out there purveying false messages. And it's therefore incumbent upon us as individuals, and it's not incumbent upon theologians to do this for us. Yes, they are needed. They're given to us by God to edify us, but it does not take the responsibility away from each and every one of us, regardless of your education level. God did not write this book for a PhD study. God gave us the Bible so that you and I, the common people, could understand it fully and understand who God is, and therefore properly worship God and glorify him and please him and be about his work, which is our purpose for being on this earth. So let's get to point number 7 on our worksheet. So this is the second page of our worksheet. If you're downloading it from the website, whcbradio.org, and it's the necessary, therefore, follow-up to point 6. And point 7 reads, if all past fulfilled prophecies are perfect in their accuracy, it stands to reason that all future prophecies should be believed. Let me read that again. If all past fulfilled prophecies are perfect in their accuracy, it stands to reason that all future prophecies should be believed. Now, there are people that will tell you that's a mouthful, and I find that hard to believe. They will say, yes, I believe that these past prophecies were fulfilled, but I really struggle thinking that God's really going to do this in the future. Well, all I can say is you're questioning the author of the universe. And let's just take it on faith as we go forward. And we look at these scriptures that we have listed on our worksheet and just get a sense of the enormity and the excitement and therefore the comfort that comes from reading these and understanding that this is what God is telling us about the future. This is what God's telling us about the future. So let's look at our first one, and that's in the Gospel book of John. The Gospel book of John. So you're in your New Testament. And we will continue to go back and forth through our Bible like this as we get more and more comfortable with where the different, those 66 books are, because we touch on many of them as we go through our study of prophecy, because prophecy is found from Genesis to Revelation. And the prophecies in the Old Testament, and most of them, are fulfilled in the New Testament. And we need both sets of books to understand that. So let's look at something that actually was not prophesied in the Old Testament. It's actually prophesied in the New Testament, because it's something that is yet future from today. It has not happened yet. But again, the point being that if it's in the Bible, it's God's word, he has prophesied it, and he will bring it about. And this is one of the great, if not the greatest prophecy that we as members of the church are looking forward to, that has yet to be fulfilled, and it can happen any moment. It is imminent, and there is a blessing for those that are eagerly awaiting for it. And what is that? It's the rapture of the church, a doctrine that more and more is being disparaged as not being true, but precious one, It is listed at least 3, if not 4 or 5 major places. And the more I study God's word, the more I see it either right in front of you in bold words, or at least intimated. But these are right in front of us. And John 14 is one of the 3 major passages in the New Testament about the prophesied yet to happen rapture of the church. I believe it's the next event on God's prophetic calendar. We don't know when it's going to happen. We can know the season, and I believe that it's very soon. It's coming very soon for a variety of reasons, but we don't know the day or the hour. It tells us, and I believe that we're told that we can't know the day or the hour, because if we did, we'd be sitting at home waiting on it, and that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to be about His work as we are gifted through the Holy Spirit and to occupy until He comes. And we can only comfort one another with, we know that it's coming, and it'll be before the tribulation. So let's look at John chapter 14. And just as a way of context, when we look at John 14, basically John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are what's called the Upper Room Discourse. And it's a discussion of Christ with His apostles. And it's the same sort of discussion. Of course, these are all the apostles here, with the exception of Judas, as opposed to the Olivet Discourse, which is back in Matthew 24, is a good example of that discourse, where He is talking to a handful of the disciples about what the tribulation is going to look like and His second coming. Christ's second coming after the tribulation. So He's talking to Israel about that period of time. Whereas in John, in the Upper Room Discourse, of which John chapter 14 is a part of that, He's now talking to basically the church and what it's going to be like during the church age, and then the rapture of the church, which ends the church age. It started at Pentecost, 10 days after Christ went back to heaven to sit at the right hand of His Father, and it will end at the rapture of the church, and then God and Jesus turn their attention back on Israel in what's called the tribulation. So He's telling the apostles, who are now representing the church, they are part of the church because they believed in Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, just as we have. So they will be part of the rapture with us. So He's talking to the apostles here about what it's going to be like in the church age, ending with the rapture. And He says, you know, here's good news, John 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way where I am going. That's verse 4. And just for context, just because it's good news, let me do 5 and 6 as well. Thomas, one of the apostles, said to Him, this is old doubting Thomas, Lord, we do not know where You are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. So He's basically telling them that I'm going to leave you. And of course, we find out later on down there in verses 15, 16, 17, and also in John chapter 15, John chapter 16, we learn all about the Holy Spirit, the Helper who comes when Jesus goes back to heaven. So He says, I don't leave you as orphans. I'm going to leave you, go back to My Father, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit of My Father, the Holy Spirit of God. And then I'm going to come back for you. I'm going to come back and get you, because I've gone up to prepare a dwelling place. And if you go back and study the ancient Jewish wedding, in fact, that's going to be a teaching series here on this radio ministry. We're going to talk about the ancient Jewish wedding and how it's a type and shadow, a historical picture of what the rapture is like. And He's basically saying, I have given you My promise through the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going back to My Father's house, and this is what they did in an ancient Jewish wedding. The prospective groom goes back to the Father's house and prepares a place to live so that when he goes for his bride and brings her back, that's where they'll live. And that's what he's telling the Jews. They understand this. They understand in detail what a Jewish wedding was like. So when he's talking to them, they know exactly what he's talking about. He says that I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I've given you my Holy Spirit as a guarantee that I'm coming back for you. And that at some point in time in the future, I will come again, verse 3 of John 14, and I will receive you to myself. In other words, I'm going to take you with me. And there, and where I am, there you will be also. And we will be with him forever from that point on. That is the rapture of the church, then the Bema seat, and then we're going to have the wedding. And we're going to be with the Lord in heaven for that whole period of that horrible tribulation that's on the earth. And then it says, I'm going to come back to the earth again as I did the first time. And my people Israel refused me. The second time I come back, they're going to accept me. And when I come back, I'm bringing my wife with me. That's the church. That's you and me. And we're going to come back. And there's so many passages we'll talk about what we'll be doing back here on the earth for 1,000 years during that wonderful millennial reign of Christ, that 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. So this is a wonderful prophecy. And again, we could spend time, and we will at some point, in the other great prophetic passages that have to do with the rapture, and that being 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll probably touch on some others that are not as obvious, but if you understand the flow of Bible prophecy, if you understand the character of God, then you can see the prophecy of the rapture and when it happens, because I believe this is this rapture takes place before the tribulation starts. Because really, if you think about it, if the church spends one day during the tribulation, which is the wrath of God, then it invalidates what Christ did on the cross, and we know that's not going to happen. That what Christ did on the cross is once for all, forever, to those who believe, so that we will not spend any time suffering through God's wrath. I mean, what man would want to take his prospective bride and have her beat up and then marry her? He's not going to allow that to happen. He has promised us we will not see the wrath that is to come on the earth to those who refuse Jesus Christ. So here we have in John 14 a wonderful future prophecy, and we have no reason to think that it will not be fulfilled exactly as has been prophesied and is confirmed in other places, as I said, and we'll study those at a later time in this particular series because they're such wonderful passages. All right, we want to take a few moments here and answer a question as we try to do in each of our programs, and we have a question from Bob in Kingsport. So we will continue on in point number 7 in our handout on why study prophecy in our next program. But let's turn to this question that we have from Bob in Kingsport. And the question is, will there be a need to calculate time in eternity? Well, that's interesting because obviously eternity is forever. And we have a need at all to calculate time in eternity. And let's see where Bob might be going with this question, because I think it's a pertinent one. And it's one that I think, as we go through an explanation of this, I think you'll see that it's something that either you haven't thought about before or you've never heard of before because it hasn't been taught, because it's buried way there at the end of Revelation. And you don't hear Revelation taught very much in churches or in Bible studies. So let's spend some time here. We want to do the best we can to answer Bob's question. Is there a need to calculate time in eternity? Well, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear a question about time and eternity is what the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter. So let's go to the book of 2 Peter. So obviously in your New Testament, and you want to find the big book of Hebrews towards the end of the New Testament. So if you can find Hebrews, you'll find James, the 5 chapters of James, and then you get into the two books that Peter, the apostle, gave us. And we want to go to the second one, so 2 Peter. And we want to go to chapter 3, the last chapter of 2 Peter. And it says in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. So basically what Peter is telling us is that with the Lord, not with man, not with you and me, but with the Lord, time really is irrelevant. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to God, and therefore to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. So that's something to consider when we talk about eternity. So if that's the case, is there really a need to be concerned with, or even how would you calculate time? And do we need to calculate time if there are really no time constraints, no time boundaries with God? And then to kind of take this in the direction to answer this from the Bible, we need to take the next step in understanding this, that if for God there is no constraint on time, what about us? Let's go to 1 John. So we're in 2 Peter, so just go to the right, just a couple of pages there, and you're going to get into the book of 1 John. And we want to go to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, and we want to go to verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. And it says in verse 2 of chapter 3, beloved, now we are children of God. So he's talking to believers who believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. It says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he is Jesus, when he appears, and for us, that'll be at the rapture, when we see him face to face, when he appears, there it is, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And we also find over in 1 Corinthians 15, in one of the great rapture passages, it says that in the twinkling of an eye, the moment that we see Jesus in the rapture, we will be like him, and we will have immortal, imperishable bodies. In other words, we will be like God. We will be like Jesus at that point in time. We won't be God, but we will be like him in the sense that we have immortal bodies. We will have the mind of Christ. So at that point, at the point of the rapture, based on what I read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, we will be like him, that at that point, what we read just a moment ago in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, about a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day, that will also apply to you and me as raptured Christians. In our immortal bodies, imperishable bodies, time will no longer have a constraint on us, because we will be like God at that point in time. And so based on basically that line of reasoning, I would say that time would not be calculated in eternity relative to us, relative to the church. But what I want us to understand, and what I don't think is really taught very much, because it's buried, as I said early on, buried back in the end of Revelation, is that the whole story? Are we the whole story? Now, there are those that say, yeah, the church is the whole story. Well, no, they're not. They're not, because God said they're not. So let's get into what I'm referring to here, and let's go to Revelation chapter 21. So we're in 1 John. You don't have very far to go to the right to get into the book of Revelation. We want to go right towards the end there, second to the last chapter. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and we want to go to verse 24. Revelation 21, 24. And in context here, we're talking about, we've got the New Jerusalem. Now, the New Jerusalem, which is in heaven today, is where our spirit goes when we die. That is our home address. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your address changes from a carnal person on this earth to a spiritual person in heaven. Your address is now New Jerusalem. You have a place that, as we read in John 14 just a while ago in our lesson, it's been prepared for you. And at the rapture, your body is going to be matched up with that spirit, and you're going to have a room in heaven. So there's a New Jerusalem. And it says that that New Jerusalem at the beginning of eternity comes down to the earth, comes down to the earth. So that's the context we're talking about here in Revelation chapter 21. But I want to go specifically to verse 24 to expound on this whole point about time and why time will be measured in eternity. Verse 24 of Revelation 21 reads, "The nations will walk by its light." What's its light? The light of the New Jerusalem. "The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it." So hopefully you can visualize the earth as a sphere in space, and the New Jerusalem, the Bible clearly says, comes down out of heaven, and it comes down to the earth as a separate entity, as a separate structural entity there on the earth. So people are on the earth in eternity, just as they were in the garden at the beginning of Genesis, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel before they all fell, or before the fall, were to live in eternity on the earth in their human bodies. There will be people on the earth during eternity with the New Jerusalem also located there down on the earth. So it says the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. So we want to explore that in some detail, and we will do that at the end of our next program, as we always do. We'll follow up on Bob's question, is there a need to calculate time in eternity? We will finish answering that in our next program. But remember, if we don't talk again, I'll be seeing you in the air.
If you have a question for Steve, you can submit it online to whcbradio.org. Our offer here at WHCB this month is a very special documentary, 1517, The Flame Rekindled, where you'll be taken on a journey through the land of Martin Luther, from his birth house in Eisleben to Castle Church in Wittenberg, and beyond the borders of Germany as well. You will see the effects of Luther's courageous stand. Shot on location in Germany and in Denmark, this documentary film includes interviews with internationally known scholars and theologians. Prepare to be immersed in the story of Martin Luther and gain a new understanding of how this story affects each of us today. This special DVD, 1517, The Flame Rekindled, can be yours with an offering of $25 or more to the ministry of WHCB. To order your copy, call 423-878-6279. That's 878-6279, and order your copy today. Exploring Bible Prophecy is a production of WHCB Radio. You can learn more at whcbradio.org.